All right, turn to the book of Nehemiah. The book of Nehemiah. That's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and Nehemiah. No, it's right after Ezra and right before the book of Job. And Job is right before the book of Psalms. It's Esther and then the book of Psalms. The book of Job, then Psalms. I'll get it here in a minute. But I don't know, this is something that I've been working on, and I really didn't know if the Lord really wanted me to preach this tonight, but I think really after I got the Mission America paper, and well, Brother Van White, he's gone on home now. He's in heaven. He does not have cancer anymore. He's not in no pain. He's there with his Savior and his Lord. But I can say this, I believe that I just want to put another title to this, what I'm going to speak tonight about, which my original title was The Pattern for Success. You know, we all look for some type of success in our life. But in going and reading what the paper said about him passing away and everything in Mission America and the mission board there, we need to pray for him. We need to pray for him every day. Because there's not many out there anymore that really wants to do God's work. But I want to title tonight, The Wall of Success. Instead of the pattern of success, I want to title it to The Wall of Success. And we see that in chapter 4 and verse 6. Chapter 4 and verse 6 in the book of Nehemiah. Verse 6, it says, "So built we the wall, and all the walls were joined together unto the half thereof. For the people had a mind to work." Now, Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this verse of Scripture we have just read. And Father, and I do pray, Father, for the White family. Father, that you may speak to the heart, Father, in what you want them to do for the mission board. And Father, we just want to thank you for the opportunity on this side of heaven that we had an opportunity to meet Brother Van White. To where he come to the church and where he preached the message. He preached thy word. And Father, we do thank you for that. Thank you, Lord, that you allowed us to be able to take him on for what little support we could give. And Father, I know that he wanted to come back to the church. But Father, we know, Lord Jesus, he is there in heaven today. He's there with your precious darling son, Jesus Christ. The one that he was working for. The one that we all need to work for. And we need to look to him for strength and grace. in the hour and the time that we're living. Help us, Father, that we may stay true to thy word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. The wall of success. We know right here where the children of Israel right here, they had built a wall. And Nehemiah says, so built we the wall. And all the walls were joined together unto the half thereof. For the people had a mind to work. Do we have the same mind today? Do we have the same mind today to work for the Lord? Do we? If we don't, we need to get back in that closet where we can get along with God and we can ask the Lord to help us to find within our own being the mind to work for Him and to Him, for Him only, not for the betterment of the church, not the betterment of the pastor, not the betterment of each other, but for the betterment of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we ask. The only thing that we have today is the gospel. If you don't have the gospel, we don't have anything. And we have the gospel. Today I see where people today, they're speaking more about Christianity than they ever have before in their lifetime. But I really don't believe that they understand really what they're talking about. Because they have learned to use the word Christianity. They've learned to use it like they do any other word. I'm a Christian. They don't even know what the meaning of a Christian means. A Christian means that we must be like Christ. We must strive in being just like Him. Just because we have the flesh hanging on these old bones that we have does not mean that we cannot strive to be like Him. Because what we strive for is for the inner man. We don't strive for the outer man because the outer man is sinful. But we must strive for the inner man. Seeking God's wall for success. We need to seek out His strength. We need to seek out His ability to teach us and to help us to build that wall of success. And He sought the wisdom and the power of God. This is what Nehemiah said right here, that the Lord Jesus Christ, He sought out the wisdom of the Father. He sought out the ability of the Father. He sought out the power of the Father. And you know what He says every time that He went to the Father and He prayed. He said, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. He could have said, my will be done. I need, and I'm going to have all the power that I need to defeat Satan. But no, the Father sent him for a reason. Why? That the Father's will be done. The reason the Lord Jesus Christ called me, and the reason He saved my soul, reason He called you, and the reason He saved your soul, is for the will of the Son be accomplished. Not the will of the Father, but the will of the Son. Because that's who we need to follow. We don't need to follow the Father. We need to follow the Son. You cannot follow the Son without following the Lord and the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit. You have got to follow all three. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And if you don't have all three, and if you don't believe in all three, then you must get back. You must come to the altar. You must get back on your face. And you must plead to God. You must plead to the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your heart and to save your soul. And that's all we have. Oh yes, I got family members. I got loved ones. I have the church. I have the church family. I got other Christians I hear. I got other brothers and sisters I hear of the Lord. But if I don't have the will of the Savior in my life and doing what I can to uplift Him, then all these others is of naught. And they don't need even looking to them. Ain't no need going to them and say, hey, well, I don't know where you was at Sunday, but I missed you at church. Hey, they know it. We don't have to tell them. We don't have to tell the people that they know that they need to be in church. They know where they need to be at on Sunday. They know where they need to be at night. They know where they need to be at. They know when they're at the supper table. They know what they need to be doing before they put their first bite of food in their mouth. And they need to bow the head and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to bless the food and the nourishment of the body and strength for the service that He will give them through that day and through the rest of the week. But sometimes we get to the point, we as human beings, we get to the point and say, well, I can't say God's grace. I can't say grace over the food and say it out enough to where people can hear me. I need to say it in. I need to whisper it to myself. Hey. No, we don't either. If the devil's crowd can use God's name in vain, then I can sure tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ through my prayers. That He died for them. And all the blessings that He bestowed upon them that they refuse. They don't refuse the air that they breathe, the way it can pump their lungs. They don't refuse the strength that comes from God, where they can go out here and work a job to earn some money. They don't refuse none of that. But yet, the damn God with all thy breath, and we don't say anything at all against Satan. Why? Because we believe that Satan is doing his work. Well, he is doing his work. Ain't no belief in that. It's a fact. We can look around and see where Satan is doing his work. Satan is destroying people's lives. Satan is destroying families. Satan don't care anything about you. He don't care anything about your family. He don't care anything about your children. He don't care anything about your grandchildren. He don't care anything about us at all. He uses us. Why? Because the Bible says he's a liar. And he's the father of all lies. God the Father cannot lie. But the devil, that's all he does is lie. He don't care anything about you. He don't care anything about me. Oh, the only thing the devil wants from me, he wants me to fall flat on my face.
He wants me to get up here and say something that's wrong. Where the people in the church can say, preacher, you know, what you said, that's not biblical. It's not right. The devil's right there. He's right there. He's not 12 inches from my heart. He's right here at the forefront of a mind. That's what he wants. He wants my mind. Because if he knows if he can get my mind, then he has my heart. Because once he has my mind is going to transfer over to the heart. That's the reason that I say that we need to have our face between our knees. We need to have our face down on the floor in the closet praying to God that God will give us the strength. He will give us the ability to go out and do what he's asked us to do. And he's asked me to go out and to preach the unsearchable riches of God. He told me to go out and not just be somebody who would just go out and tickle somebody's ears. Because when I do, it's just like a tinkling cymbal. Just like somebody up here just hitting the notes on a piano. He don't want that out of me. He wants me to tell people about his love and also about his wrath. You cannot preach love. You cannot preach it that long if you don't preach on wrath. You got to preach it both. Sometimes some messages that I've preached, I didn't like preaching it. I didn't want to preach it. But I didn't have no choice. Either I was to obey God or obey self. And if I obey self, then what I say is all in vain. All at naught. Why? Because there's nothing to come out that come from God. He saw right wisdom Nehemiah did. Can we say the same thing? Do we ask God to give us more wisdom? Like Solomon, he prayed for wisdom and God gave him wisdom. But we as individuals, sometimes we'll say, well, Lord, I got to go to work right now. I got to go out here and I got to go get some gas in the automobile so I can go out and visit. I'll get in the car and I'll go to then the pilot or somewhere else and I'll pull up to the pump and I'll fill up with gasoline in the car. The whole time with the whole intentions of going in and visiting somebody. But when I get to their house, I have not took out time to pray. I haven't took out time enough to pray for the individual that I'm going to visit. Because see, if we don't pray for them, how is the Lord going to deal with our heart? How? We must always remember that we pray to the Father first. We need to ask the Father for His will to be done. And we must ask Him to be with us and leading us to the right individual. And then we must say, Lord, you know where I'm going. You know what they need. I don't. I need to leave that up to the Lord. I need to go and visit the individual. Then allow the Lord to do His work to open the door where they would come in and say, well, oh, you didn't new pastor down at Faith Baptist Church down in 58. Yes, sir. Since you mentioned it, I'd love for you to come. We would love to have you one Sunday. I said, just come give us a try. Just come and give us a 30-day try. It won't cost you nothing. And on top of that, you don't have to give up anything. You don't have to give up nothing. Just give us a 30-day try. And then after 30 days, if something is there that you don't particularly care for, if you don't care for my preaching, if you don't care for what I say, and if you don't think the people is friendly enough to you for you, then you quit. I said, but don't come Sunday, just Sunday morning. And don't come back Sunday, and then don't come back Sunday night. Then you may drop in on Wednesday. If you're not working on Sunday, come Sunday morning for Sunday school at 10. Come at 11 for the preaching hour. And then come that afternoon at 5 o'clock. And we'll let you out in time enough to where you can go back out here and you can be able to see where the daylight is still there. But you got to give us a try. That's what I had to do with the Lord. When the Lord Jesus, when the Holy Spirit touched my heart, they didn't say to me, you need to give the Lord a try. No. What they asked me was, do you know where you're going once you take your last breath? I said, what do you mean? Are you going to heaven or are you going to hell? And I just told them, I said, I really don't know. Because I didn't. So I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. I trusted Him, and knowing what they had told me and what I'd heard the Sunday before at church, that what I'd heard was the truth. I didn't come out and say it, but basically what I was saying, I said, Lord, I'm going to give you a try. I'm going to give you a try. I didn't have to quit nothing. I didn't have to quit drinking my beer. I didn't have to quit smoking. I didn't have to quit cursing. I didn't have to quit any of that. The Lord Jesus took it away from me. And He will take it away from the people that want Him to be the Lord of their life.
Nehemiah saw a wall. And Nehemiah, when he built the wall, he didn't come down off of the wall to come down for a break or to come down and take 2 or 3 days off and then go back to work. No, Nehemiah stayed with the wall. He stayed with the wall. Why? Because the wall meant something to him. The wall
meant strength. The wall meant a separation. The wall was separating him from the world. We need to be a separated people. We don't have to be in the world. We don't have to be of the world either. We don't have to be there for them. When we go into the world, we must make sure that what we have on our hearts, we must not allow somebody else to dictate to us in whom we serve in. How many of you even know today that you can go out? We can go to the mall. And if you in the mall walking or walking from store to store or walking in the store like that and everything, and then you just get to meet somebody in there that's a Christian. Then you start talking to them and start talking to them about the church. Start talking to them about the Lord, how good God is. Then other people will notice that you're talking about something and someone that they don't know anything about. But yet then they will go up to the counter and they will purchase what they're purchasing. And I've seen this firsthand, that while they're at the counter and purchasing the product that they're coming out for, I've actually heard them say to the cashier, if you're going to allow that to happen in the church, in here, talking about religion, how good God is, talking about whom they serve, I'm not going to come back. And I've seen the same cashier to go to the individuals and tell them, says, you're going to have to lower your voice. I'm not going to tell you to quit saying what you're saying, but just lower your voice where nobody else can hear you. What's the difference? I said, well, hey, you can't do it. But somebody tells me I can't do it, that's when the very time that I'm going to do it in spite of the sale. In spite of myself, I'm going to do it. Why? Because I don't serve them, I serve God. They did not save me, God did. The wall. How precious the wall is. We know over here in, well, let's see, up in verse 3. It says, now Tobiah and the Amorites was by him, and he said, even that which they built, if a fox go up, he shall even break down thy stone wall. What the fox right here represent the devil. The fox right here is representing someone that Nehemiah don't know anything about. But if fox go up, he shall break down their stone wall. See, Nehemiah, he had the right materials. He had the right materials, so when he went about to build the wall, he wasn't worried about the wall coming down. He wasn't worried about if a dozen fox went and climbed the wall if the wall was going to come down. He knew it wouldn't come down. Why? Because he had built the wall by God's design. By God's design. And cover not thy iniquity. And let not thy sin be blotted out from before thee. For they have provoked thee to anger before the builder. The individuals that was also up there on the wall building with Nehemiah, they was up there, they was angry. Why? Because Nehemiah would not come down. Nehemiah wouldn't give them the okay to come down. Because the wall had not been finished. Nehemiah was going to stay until the wall was finished. Are we going to stay here at Faith Baptist Church until God's work is done? You better believe I am. I'm going to stay right here until the Lord calls me home. And when the Lord calls me home, that means my work is finished. Unless he wants to come and step out on the cloud. And then he wants to blow that trumpet. And then where my ears are tuned in to the trumpet. I know y'all have heard the trumpets play. Different people playing the trumpet. Even at the military funerals, you have someone there that can play the trumpet. Play taps on the trumpet. But there's never going to be another sound. It's going to be like the sound that comes from Gabriel's mouth. When he's licking his lips right now. He's licking them and he's putting the mouthpiece up to his mouth. And ain't quite right yet. He's licking them again. He's telling him. Still licking. Take right now. Lord, I believe I got it now. I'm going to call your children home. I'm going to call your children. I'm going to call your brothers and your sisters home. And Father, I'm going to call your children home. We'll call them home. They're saved. They're going to hear the trumpet. Going to hear the trumpet. Hallelujah. I'm going to hear that trumpet one day and praise God. I'm going to leave a shouting. This doesn't say anything in the Bible about me shouting all the way going to glory. Who says I am? Who says I ain't? When I hear about the first grave opening up and the dead in Christ rise first, I'm going to start shouting and I'm going to start praising God. Why? Because then I'm going to rise up and I'm going to meet them in the air. And when I meet with them in the air, then we all are going home. And I'm going to start shouting. And I'm going to start saying, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, that you're calling me home. We are living, like I said, I believe it was Sunday night or Sunday morning sometime, that we should be the most exciting people that there is. Why? Why?
because we're Christian, because we are of that generation. There's nothing else that has to come to pass. The Bible has fulfilled everything except for one thing. And that's the sound of the trumpet. Hey, everything else has been fulfilled. They would talk about peace overseas. They talk about, say, well, if we go and if we do this, then we can go about bringing a peace accord between Israel and the Palestinians. There's not going to be no peace on earth until the Prince of Peace comes back. He ain't come back yet. But we got the assurance that he's coming back. We've got his precious word and coming back. And you know, I've had people to say to me, so, preacher, you know, that's what you're getting out of the Bible says. You don't know if that's what's going to happen or not. I said, well, I'm going by scripture, but I know there's going to be a whole lot of more things that's going to go on there that I don't know anything about, that I have not read about. But he give me just enough to whet my appetite and going on. So when I get that, well, I've just been, my appetite's just been whetted, I'm going to get there. And then I'm going to be, praise God. Then after I bad defeat of Jesus and I present the crowns that he give to me, I'm going to present them at his feet. Then after all that's said and done, then we're going to go. To the supper. We're going to be escorted in by the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus, he's going to, God the Father and the Holy Spirit, they're going to be sitting at the head of the table. But see, the Lord Jesus is going to set each one of us down. He's going to pull the chair out. And here he's going to say, here's your place. Here's your place. Sit down. And you'll be served in a minute. See, we're God's servants now. We're supposed to be serving him now. But when we get to heaven, it's going to all turn around. He's going to be serving us. He's going to be serving us. And, you know, and we don't deserve to be served. I don't even deserve to even go to heaven. But I thank God. I thank God
that he made a way. God the Father made a way for me
to get to heaven.
And not only that,
he sealed it.
He sealed it until the day of redemption. When is that day coming up?
I believe it's going to come about when I bow my knees and I take what few crowns that I deserve and I'll take them, they'll pass them over to me
I wouldn't even try them on. I wouldn't even put them on my head. I would take them and transfer them to the Lord. I said, Lord, you are worthy. Not me. You are worthy. Not me. Can you imagine what kind of meal we're going to have? It says 12 manner of fruit. I don't know what the fruit's going to be like. I really don't know what we're going to be eating. But it doesn't make no difference. Does it? It don't make no difference what we serve there. Because see, our taste buds here on earth, there's a whole lot of things we don't taste and we won't eat because of the taste bud that we have. I believe that we're going to have the taste buds to where everything is going to taste so sweet. What's that thing that everybody else eats? I hear that comes from the fish eyes, escobar, what it is. I have no idea. Yeah. But you know something? I mean, if somebody put that on my plate, I believe I'd just lose it right there. But thou, hey, I ain't going to lose it there. I'm going to have a bowl. I'm going to have a bowl. And you are too. You are too. Sister Nancy, we're going to get down and we're going to get up and praise God. You're going to get up beside your daddy. And your dad's going to say, well, daughter, come on. You got to keep up with me now. Come on. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. I mean, we ain't going to just stand still there. I think we're going to run and we're going to run and we're going to run. And we're going to shout. We're going to shout for the glory of God. Why? Because He is worthy. He is worthy of every praise that can come from these lips. He's worthy of them. I'm not. He is. Nehemiah built a wall. It was a strong wall. And the wall was dedicated to the Lord. I believe that's what we need to do. We need to dedicate ourselves once again to the Lord. And say, Lord, I want you to build that same wall around me, where nobody can get a hold of my mind or get a hold of my heart. I need that today. Our Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for this day. Lord God, we want to thank you for that wall, Lord. Father, that wall can give us strength. And that wall can stand there for eternity. And Father, also that wall can separate us, Lord, from the things of the world. And Lord, not only that, the Lord can touch each one of us for your service. Father, I pray tonight, Lord Jesus, you go with us to our respective homes, that you may speak to our hearts during the night. Lord, and to the ones that we need to pray for.
and the ones that we need to call out thy name unto thee. Father, help us to live the life before them, that they would just want to come and give us a try. They just want to come and give you a try, Father. Father, because there's nothing that they can do. They cannot give up this or give up that and then expect to come, because they will never come. Because they cannot give up anything. But Lord, you can take it from them. We thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.